Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity, part of the Podmatch podcast network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And as we are moving along into 2026, there is still a lot of work to be done on all of us. We always have those resolutions that say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to start that project, or I'm going to finish that project. I'm going to get that project out. I'm going to make a name for myself. And then, well, now I actually have to put those things into action. And sometimes it takes a little anarchy to get to where you need to go. And that is where my guest this week comes in handy. Kyle Merrick is the creator of a system called Anarchy for a Day. And he has his own website, anarchyforaday.com. And this is all about redefining anarchy as what he calls tactical differentiation, which is a great way to look at taking a look at life, seeing what works, and then giving it that sort of tweak that works the best for us to move forward. And he's here to tell us all about that. He's also here to tell us about his own history in creativity as an actor and a voice artist. So Kyle really is the perfect person to have on this show because he's not only sharing his own journey as a creative, but he's already providing the tools for all of you to take what is there, hopefully have it framed to help you move forward in 2026 and beyond. I'm really excited to have him here. So it is my pleasure to introduce my guest this week, Kyle Merrick. Kyle, how are you, sir?
George, I'm great, man. Thank you. And what an intro, too. Very interesting tie, bringing it to the New Year's resolutions and then surprise, we need a little bit of anarchy in there to actually help move us forward in a good direction.
Exactly. And this really plays into one of the more popular writing exercises called National Novel Writing Month. Now, it's since kind of been rebranded because a lot of the people behind National Novel Writing Month have let some toxicity get into the works. But what they did was they basically just said that in week one, it's always a lot of fun because you're setting the table, you're getting your characters introduced, you're getting things started, you're introducing the plot, you're getting the audience hooked. You're getting your readers hooked. Then comes week two, and you have to have these characters actually do something. And that's when everything really stalls a little bit because we are great at running to the edge of that cliff, but then we always stop before we make that leap. And so it's one of those things that it's like human nature in us. We like to say, okay, I'm going to do this. And we plan for those actions. But then when it comes time to do them, that's when we falter. So something like this, Anarchy for a Day, seems to be like a good hack to actually get you to keep going forward in a way. Wouldn't you agree?
I would, certainly, given especially that it's a beast of my own creating. But if I'm thinking about hacks, what I think about is, okay, not every single life hack or business hack or hack in general is going to be useful for me.
Yeah,
maybe simply just due to my own circumstance, my available resources. I don't know what.
Maybe a different choice of words would be.
Heck, it's not inappropriate by any means. I'm not saying no. It's the root of anarchy is to say that anarchy is applicable to the individual. You know, whether we're speaking about a person, a singular person, or a business entity, it's applicable only in those individual situations where one must account for, okay, what's going on? Where do you need to be, at least in your own mind, perhaps based on New Year's resolutions, business goals and objectives, whatever. And based on then the available resources, remove the blocking components to ensure that you can actually arrive wherever it is that you're aiming to go.
Yeah.
And that's where anarchy comes in. It's a very highly specific, individualized tool. to employ. It's not like there's a general formula that everybody does and all of a sudden, bada bing, bada boom, you're floating around in your own blue ocean. No, you need to take stock of your own situation. And then, and only then, can you apply it.
Very interesting. And so what was it that really made you want to go in that direction for yourself?
It came from about a decade of being a marketing agency owner. And then I kind of reached this point where I decided, all right, there's a lot of people that don't really trust marketers. Okay, so we have that as one sort of primary issue. Now, if business owners don't trust marketers, it probably means that they're going to try to find alternative solutions or go with the cheaper option because, okay, maybe we have employed the higher end marketing solutions and for whatever reason, they didn't deliver per our own expectation. Okay, now we have AI entering frame. AI largely can do the job of the marketer. That is it in its plainest form. And the reality is because we can automate so many of these different marketing systems, AI is remarkably cheap and very attainable. You can do it yourself. The thinking for a lot of business owners is, all right, if I don't have the money or desire to work with that top-end solution, then AI might be a little bit work on my end, but largely I can do it myself from the marketing agency. Mm-hmm. If we're going after an RFP, then AI comes in. And we're playing for that same exact RFP contract. The chances that they're going to undercut us so significantly price-wise is massive. And we cannot trim costs to be able to even play with that. So in other words, AI is just undercutting a lot of... So I realized too, not only do people distrust marketers, but AI is in some ways, if you're a smaller agency that doesn't have that team, it's putting us out of business in a lot of ways. Simply acknowledge that. And I just figured, you know what? This isn't the correct business model for today's marketplace anymore. Now, what we still have is this distrust because we have people that are maybe trying to self-drive this AI machine so that they can churn out their own marketing. And some people are probably finding remarkable success and others may still be puttering along. One of the ways that I'm aware of to combat this, perhaps if we just call it that, distrust, is education. One of my general visions is to really build this marketplace of educated buyers so that they understand the marketplace from the marketing expert's perspective. And so that's really where this marketing coaching anarchy for a day, this concept comes in. So I was actually looking for a job for maybe a 6 month long period, like a full-time marketing director, creative director, something like that. And I wasn't able to find any footing whatsoever. So I hired a coach for myself. And so she comes in the very first conversation, she says, now, I understand we have to focus on your resume. I can also see you as being a coach. And I was like, that's high compliment. But I can't start another business right now. That's why you're here.
Right. You're here to get me back out there. But in
I'm looking to sell my soul, my dear. I need a job.
It's a great way to look at it. Just I want to work for someone else. I want them to do that.
Exactly. Great,
look at me and say that I am worthy enough to come in. So
I'm a marketable individual, and I don't know what the answer is, but apparently I'm critically unemployable because I didn't find a job. But the reality is then the same week that I spoke to that coach, the Colorado Nonprofit Association reaches out. And they invite myself and my colleague to build out a single day in-person boot camp for them and for their entire nonprofit base. So maybe I'm not so unemployable. It's just simply corporations are seemingly not a huge fan of the self-starter. Yeah. I don't know. But all right, now we have this sort of correlated duality, this coincidence. Where the coach kind of plants the seed of, dude, you should coach. And then the nonprofit association has me building out course materials. Within the same week, I'm now having to completely rethink the entirety of my body of knowledge as it relates to digital marketing, graphic design, hell, customer service, just how I know how to run and operate a business.
Yeah.
This decades worth of information that I've gleaned from that entrepreneurial venture. And I'm trying to figure out, all right, how do I take this? Because the marketer largely just does. Like, we just do the job. Mm-hmm. There's a good bit of selling and education in that process down to the nitty gritty. Like, we're not teaching like how to do it, because oftentimes there's the fear of if we teach our customers how to do it, then they're just going to take that playbook and start cooking for themselves. And
right
now the job of the coach is to educate, equip, and help these makers strap up so that they can more or less take on the world with the savvy of the marketing expert and understand, all right, this is what I'm looking for. These general solutions are good for me. I have a good like inner working understanding of both the digital marketing realm and my own product and my customer base. You know, that's the key, is you have to understand how everything plays together. So that's largely how it came about, is that in that week, I just realized that in my own brain, anarchy was taking place. And that was the process of completely rethinking, reengineering that entire knowledge base and flipping it into more or less a course, literally formalizing, like, how do I make this attainable for other people?
And it also sounds like, just from what you're telling me, it just sounds very much like you're taking the anarchy that you said that was in your mind, and instead of doing what everyone else would be saying was, I have to make order out of this chaos, you're basically saying, how can I use this chaos to get to what I want? So it's almost like you're using it as a tool rather than something that needs to be repelled.
You're not off base. The anarchy comes in to say, all right, I have an entire body of knowledge. I was doing one singular thing with that body of knowledge previously with the marketing agency. I was simply enacting it more or less. I didn't have to explain it to anybody. All right. Now, if I have to rethink, how do I take the whole of this and then translate this into a way that other people are going to understand it that don't have my same like background knowledge, education, past client experience, all of that. So the anarchy was the translation, the understanding of, if I'm going from this to this, that process, that in-between process of, oh boy, this is a completely different way of looking at roughly the same exact concept. That is what anarchy is. It is the rethinking, the reapplication of something known, or perhaps sometimes it takes there is now the concept of antiquation here too, because AI has taken over a lot of people's jobs these days. And so some people are coming fresh out of college, degree in hand, and all of a sudden AI is taking their jobs before they even have an opportunity to immerse themselves into the real world.
And which is so frustrating, because you've been spending years and years trying, all getting yourself, like training yourself to go in this one direction.
Severe expertise.
And all of a sudden it's just, and all of a sudden it's just gone.
Straight out.
Now what?
Under you. So
yeah,
in those moments, the bit of anarchy could perhaps come in to say, all right, if objectively, if my degree is no longer serving me, unfortunately, which is a very hard realization to digest. Yeah. If that is the case, then what in the heck do I? Mm-hmm. And to get there, hopefully you have an understanding of what your skill sets are, where you can thrive and kind of figure what's marketable these days. If not, it takes a lot of self-work, a lot of understanding of the self to figure out, all right, what are the core components of me? What do I value? What drives me? Because again, end of day, you're talking about selling your soul in some manner. Yeah. So to whom are you going to give arguably your most valuable asset?
Wow. And it's in a way, it's almost like you're kind of letting you give it to yourself and kind of letting him empower yourself.
It is all empowerment, because the reality of those that we work with, those that we spend time with on podcasts, those that we hold near and dear, they comprise the whole individual. It's like you are the sum of all parts. Simply show me your friends and I'll show you how successful you'll be. It's that very simple consideration. Mm-hmm. Largely, if you're working with, collaborating with, serving individuals that have a maybe a good mission, if you're into philanthropy as I am, then at a very base level, I know that all of us are here to support the same exact mission. So even though we're completely different people, very different backgrounds, we can come together because we're united with the same mission. So that is oftentimes a very good way of selling the soul.
And so while you were working on this, while you're working, with your coach, now all of a sudden you were called to basically put something else together. And then what was it about when you got everything all set, packaged into anarchyforaday.com, what was it like to get that out there into the world?
The reality of a lot of confident people, and I think people would largely look at me and think, okay, this guy's confident, and if not cocky, if not stupid, for calling his business Anarchy for a Day. One of the realities is that nerves never go away. Oftentimes,
that's true.
Not saying that all confident people are embracing nerves. Some people have just no nerves and are just like, whatever. But largely, a lot of people, and you know, public speakers are the same way, actors are the same way. But nerves are always going to be part of it because a lot of marketing is test and learn. And so I've seen what happens if you go the more conservative route in marketing. So this is my test, largely, for the marketplace is to see, all right, let's put something almost bombastic out there.
Yeah.
And just see what happens. The number of people who've said, I'm a bit of an anarchist myself, so I actually understand really where you're coming from. And granted, I think we're talking about two different forms of anarchy, but at its core, anarchy simply means just something different from what the rest of the folks are doing out there. So having that shared understanding, because a mission, a name like Anarchy for a Day, it almost puts the critical value right out in front of me, where here in my story, it really helps to understand kind of the goal, the mission, and you know how I steer the ship. But a name like that also tells the viewer at its core level, you're not here to look like everybody else.
Yeah.
Because I don't look like everybody else. And for whatever reason, I'm this black sheep of, I don't know, my inner wiring is just such that I love going against the grain. And it's what makes the world, life, business endeavors, heck, on-screen performances, anything. It's what makes it exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's an acknowledgement of maybe I didn't quite hit what I wanted, at least in my own mind.
Because if it's working the way you want it to work, then you would just keep doing what you were doing.
That's it. That's the reality is, like, could this marketing agency model flex and change with the times? We could, mm-hmm. but that would mean that drastic things would have to change, including largely customer service, which is something I value to an extreme. And that's something I'm not willing to sacrifice as a business owner. That was one of the biggest considerations is, all right, this ain't working. I got to figure out something else. And my initial solution was I got to find a full-time job, which my parents were like, finally, he's finally on his mission from God. Wonderful. Right. And so they were happy. And then I told them about Anarchy for a Day. And then they got back to being sad because they are not currently. Dad has probably taken some fair risks in his life. Mom understands it, probably less so on her end. She has a legal background. He was in marketing and advertising and ended up retiring in law firm marketing. And needless to say, I don't know if they would be the biggest champions of my route or direction, but a lot of this is very strategic, very carefully planned testing.
Yeah. And that's really all you can ask. Just saying that this is something new. Give it a try.
Yeah.
See if it works. And if it does work, then great. Then you can keep applying that. But if it doesn't, but you're not saying that this is the be all end all cure for someone's ails. No, not at all. You're saying this is something new, and a lot of the tools that you would need to succeed are already inside you.
They are. Yeah. And a lot of times it's simply just a reconsideration of what have I been doing? What does life and times look like today? And how is it that people are digesting essentially things that are relating to my own skill set? If you are in this early maker period where you're maybe in this, like, all right, I would like to start a business. That largely is my, the 1 year old I live with is yelling my name.
Nothing wrong with a cameo.
She calls me Co. She's cute as can be. So that's, yeah, for the early maker, that's where a lot of the consideration of, okay, what does the marketplace look like? What are people currently placing value on? And where does my skill set align with any of that? That's what has to be considered if you're starting a business. If you've started a business and you need to essentially change things up and flex with the times, that's where things get a little bit more difficult, because then you hope that you're the only stakeholder. Now, if you have employees, right, this is going to make that process of change a whole lot more difficult. The more people that you have as stakeholders in general, you're going to get pushback. You're going to get people that are, I'm not going to say antiquated, but they don't like change. You know, that's the difficulty. If you're presenting change, then you need to back it up with data and say, here's why and here's how.
Yeah. And so what was it, what has it been like to get the sort of get the responses that you've been getting so far?
It's the testing component. It's, I would say, reassuring, because there's a number of podcasts that I get on talk about anarchy, and there are a couple moments where individuals challenge me, and that's fine. I have no problem with being challenged. I understand how remarkable of a statement it is, largely. I've had individuals suggest that religious individuals or institutions would take issue, and I say, fantastic, that's fine. I'm not anti-religion by any means, but if they take issue with it, and if they are willing to hear my story, and they still take issue with it, then so be it. No harm. I am actually generally a solution provider. We are simply not the right fit. That's the other benefit of having a name like this, is it weeds out the individuals who are not a good fit pretty darn quickly.
And so I hope that this has been getting like a good amount of traction as well, just from what you've been saying, that it's gotten, it's starting to work its way into conversations, it seems.
That's half of the idea of being on the podcast, is because I have my kind of direct network to access networks far beyond. This is the thing that I'm inspired the most about my own messaging, which is to say I'm getting completely high on my own supply. It is a way of simply being. So I'm not suggesting that you need to buy into my coaching practice. It's not the focus. Anarchy itself is a way of considering life, the nuances of it, and how, if you walk into a room, how you can stand out as being one of the most interesting individuals in it, as opposed to blending in with the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And some people have no desire to stand out, and that's fine. I'm not saying that you need to, but if you do, then you must consider things very carefully. And that's where having somebody like myself to guide you through that process can be very helpful.
And it also seems like your own history and creativity is really helping to present itself, because not only do you have the marketing background, but you also have a background in acting and voice work. So that's really amps up that level of, I don't want to say performance in terms of just like you're performing something for these other people, but what you're doing is like you're getting that message across in a very clear manner because of your background.
The clarity, and I've been told that actually when I walked into acting class the first day, acting class, all right, clearly you're a great speaker.
There you go.
You're going to have to just kill that part, because for anything dramatic, that ain't going to work.
Really?
No, it doesn't matter how clear your dictation is, how spoken you are, how knowledgeable you are on certain topics. If you need to cry on camera, fucking cry. That's what has to happen. The honest answer is that's an exhausting process, just operating at like a baseline, because I'm terrified due to the entrepreneurial background. It's like I have to operate like this everywhere.
Yeah.
And so that's why this is so hardwired into me now, is I'm a good speaker because I've had to go up in public speak. I've had to sell my own initiatives as being the answer. Somebody who comes in who's fumbling over the words, who can't formulate a proper thought, that's not something people are going to buy into.
because you want to come across as someone who is going to grab their attention. If as soon as the stumbling comes in or the mumbling,
it's
or
a tell.
Losing a place. If, yeah.
Are you a poker player?
I've played my share of poker.
Okay. And, yeah. And yeah. Like a tell is a tell. Mm-hmm. Like you need to just, I was on a podcast a couple days ago and it was an interesting draw because the individual said that acting to marketing, I will grant that they are, but there are very interesting similarities that I think really only the marketer who is the actor can draw, which is to say, okay, as the marketer, George, if you come to me and you're like, I got to tweak and adjust the whole brand for Excelsior Journeys, then what this means is that any conversation I have, technically I need to speak your lingo, anything about podcasting, anything about your specific brand, I need to make sure that I stay on script because I'm in your world. Yeah. What this is part of the sales process. This is how that has to go. If I misspeak, if I step out of line there, then perhaps even on a subconscious level, that might stand out to you as being like a little tiny red flag. Maybe this guy's not paying attention to what I'm doing. That doesn't read as a good thing because I need him to be like a North Star mentor, leader in this space. The moment that you misspeak in the marketing world, in the more hardcore instances, that could be enough to ensure that you never speak to that individual again. It's the business world and it's that simple. Acting, you are speaking the language, you are another individual. Yeah. Acting is very much the same exact concept where you have to take every single breath, every single step, every blink as a different character. And if something's out of lockstep, the viewer is so dialed in these days because we're so inundated with film and media, all this stuff. People can smell when the actor is out of character. Yeah. You go back into it pretty quickly. But if there's a moment that doesn't register as being on brand, it's that fast.
And then all of a sudden, all that the focus is on now is that one moment where
exactly you're zeroed into it and you're looking for other moments like that to see how novice is this individual.
Yeah. And then you have to spend all this time trying to basically build back their trust,
credibility.
And it may not wind up happening. It may not wind up happening. You're finished speaking.
On top of the financial risk, if anybody is ever curious about the risks that are involved with the marketing world, the acting world, these are some of the core level risks is very simply just navigating each of these different planes. You're walking on a very tiny plane of existence where the margin for success is pretty much that. And you need to do whatever you can to stay within that small margin. Because otherwise, once you fall outside those bounds, good luck to you, bud.
So at the end of the day, it's how many butts did you put in that seat? And when you start speaking, like you can give a performance that would rival Olivier, but if you're doing it in an empty room, did it even happen?
Let's hope you're recording it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, man. So with all of this, everything that you've been doing and your history of marketing and with the acting and the voice acting, and now with this program that you're putting out there, it really feels like you got a really good, strong package, a really good, strong foundation to work with on this. So if someone were to come to you and say, hey, I have a concept in mind, what do you suggest as the first thing that I do with it? If I have a coaching package of my own, like a sort of coaching style of my own, like something that I feel would benefit others, what is something that you think would be the first step that they should do to get it out there?
If you are a coach specifically, this is admittedly something that I haven't done. And it's in part just because I don't have the time to do it right now, or perhaps the interest, because I have a lot of coaching is it's the opportunity for conversations, for personal work. But a lot of people will essentially make a course, pre-film it or use AI to develop it, whatever.
Yeah.
Essentially make a course in, say, an app format that individuals can buy, whether for a recurring monthly subscription or perhaps just a one-off access fee. I would not say that you need to start that immediately. Mm-hmm. The very first thing that you need to do is go get reps. Make sure that you're like what you feel is a solution. Like it has to be a solution. You need to know that other people can benefit from it before you down and invest.
Try to get it out there. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's it. Is very first thing, go get reps. And mm-hmm. so really that means just in-person coaching. And then if you can, you know, survey your mm-hmm. folks, your clientele, and just say a conversation is probably the best, but anything to help you dial in essentially your deliverable package. That's the whole message. Just refine it. And then once you're at a place where you're like, all right, there's a decent marketplace for this. I know the niche that I'm serving and I'm pretty comfortable talking to them, selling to them. Then you can think about maybe making the course out of it.
So Excellent. And where can my listeners find you on social media? Can they?
Socials, I float around Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. It's all Kyle Merrick Actor.
Kyle Merrick Actor.
I believe on each of the three platforms.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. And I hope that all of you have taken what we've been talking about to heart. I hope that this sort of idea about taking your own skills and putting them together in a new light in a way that's going to work for you will definitely benefit you. This is the time to go ahead and take those resolutions and turn them into actions and programs like Anarchy for a Day. So I really hope that those of you who have been listening are feeling just as inspired as I have. And I hope that you are moving forward in bringing your plans, your resolutions, your ideas to action, because in these crazy times, we do need your ideas, your stories, your vision now more than ever.
We need your individuality. I'm sorry, I know I'm interrupting.
Absolutely.
But that is something.
Absolutely. No, that is perfect. Exactly. That is something that is perfect here. We need your individuality. Who are you? What sort of skills can you bring to the table? And use all of those skills, not just the one thing that you think is going to work for that particular person or that particular company. Just what is it that you can bring everything that you have to the table and benefit? You don't have to just lock everything else that you have away or just say, this is what I'm going to focus on for this job that I'm doing. But you have everything else in you that is waiting to be used. That is your bullpen. Use it. Get it out there. We got to get everything that you have in you out there. This is the time to do it. It is 2026. We're early in the year. We got a long way to go, and that time can go fast. So what are you going to do with the rest of this year, with the rest of this decade, the rest of your life? This is the time to put everything out on the table, leave no regrets, and just embrace the you that you are. That is what this program does. We both, Kyle and myself, want for all of you. Get all of your skills out there.
If I can chime in with one brief thing. It's one very simple way of thinking about this is, what is it about you that endears yourself to others? Mm-hmm. Those key components. Yeah. And that could be what society is. We may not want that here in the workspace. Just figure out how to leverage those pieces, because that is the core essence of what makes you.
Absolutely. What is it that makes you, you? We want to know. So by all means, get that you that's in you out there, because everyone needs it. Yeah. For Kyle Merrick, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week.
Thanks, George. Pleasure being here.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to he'sgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@he'sgotit.com.